things here on earth in relation to the things in heaven, and has a good intent and message from each one of those. And as we read through Paul's epistles, the 13 that he wrote, we see that he uses different images and different things in life that we can relate to. And we all can relate to the Olympics that's going on now that started on Friday. And I'm sure that many of us competed in a lot of the sports that they will be doing now through the 21st at Reno. And so I've been thinking about running the race, and not long ago I preached, I believe, from this text, but it was a different type of message, relations to our life, our Christian growth in Jesus Christ. And I just come back to this again to look at it in a different way, in a deeper sense of our responsibility as Christians in relation to life situations and how that we can improve our walk with the Lord. When it comes to sports, I know coaches, and having been in sports myself in high school and so forth, that a lot of emphasis is placed on playing the game, playing it well, doing your best. But the ultimate goal is what? To win. Win, yeah, to win. And be a good sportsmanship in doing so. So, as we look at this time of year, I mean, every 4 years, you know, we know that the Olympics remind us too how much out of shape we are, because those who compete are top notch, aren't they? I mean, they work. That is their life. Their life is to train every day, probably 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and try not to get burned out in doing so. And I know so many athletes do get burned out, even in high school. But you think about the Olympics, of committing your life to a lifelong, well, not a lifelong goal, but part of your life of competing. So a few years ago, I'm kind of reminded of the badminton players were swatted from the Olympics not for trying to win. And the reason they didn't want to win was they was trying to put off as long as they could to compete against the best players so they could compete in the end in the badminton tournament and so forth. So they were swatted off of the team and didn't get to compete at all. And the crowds booed at the embarrassment, and finally the officials had to put an end to it because of what was taking place. So let's listen and look at what Paul has to say this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. He says, "Do you not know those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises control in all things." And that's true, isn't it? "Then they do it to receive a perishable prize or wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my servant or slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself is not disqualified." And that's one thing, you know, athletes, they don't want to be disqualified, do they? like the badminton team being disqualified for being dishonest. Not only did it happen in sports, but it happens in our life as Christians, sometimes being dishonest in the way we conduct our lives and so forth. So if I were to ask you, what is the mission of the Summer Olympics, would it be the gymnasts, the swim teams, tennis team, volleyball, beach ball track, or skating? What would you say? And I said, I think you said it a while ago. It's to win, isn't it? So, this morning, I want us to think about how do you know if you are accomplishing your mission? Or how do the Olympics know they're accomplishing their mission, whether or not they are winning their games? How do you know if they are winning the games? And one of the ways is that they keep score, don't they? They keep score. And I mean, can you imagine what a game would be like if the teams just lined up and played each other going up and down the field but didn't bother to keep score? What would be the point? I mean, it's not T-ball, right? And nobody really knows, I mean, cares who wins T-ball, right? Well, let me take that back. The parents do. Because I coached T-ball and Little League back years ago, many, many years ago, and the little guys, they didn't know what the ball bat was all about or what the T-stand was. And I've had them hit the ball, and they run to first base, and they keep going to the outfield, and they run around the fence. And finally, when you gather them back up to the field and explain that that's not the way we did it in practice, they get excited. But after the game is over, you know, or they, if whether they won or lost, they didn't really care. They won't know what their prize is going to be. What are we going to get? You know, a drink or some kind of refreshment. But the parents, right, they care. But what about the Christian life? What's our mission? The Christian life, what is our mission? What would Paul say? To win the race. Well, the best thing, I guess, to identify that would be to finish. But it's also good to win. And how do we know if we're winning? I guess we go back to sports. We keep score. I grew up in Gath Baptist Church. And there was an old oak board that hung on the wall back in the at the front of the church. And that is one of the ways they kept score. You know what the boards were for? Attendance. Yeah, worship attendance, offering, maybe missions, Sunday school and things like that. And many churches still do that. But that's not the best way to keep score. Sometimes it can be discouraging walking in to see if your numbers are up or they're down, visible things. And one way that we do that, it's in the bulletin, right? But there's other ways that we can keep score. And Special Olympics, let's look at Special Olympics. It's not about winning, but for them, it's participating. Not about being the best, but best you can be. Not about getting the goal, but crossing the finish line. If anyone was ever concerned or considered a winner in the Christian life in the church, I think Paul would undoubtedly qualify, wouldn't he? And so in those four verses that we just read, I think Paul personally models three characteristics of a genuine winner. Three characteristics of a genuine winners. And then the first characteristic is winners are contenders. Paul says in verse 24, run in such a way as to get the prize. So, if a word described Apostle Paul, it would be contender. He didn't just live life, he attacked it, didn't he? And he showed that, and he demonstrated that in his early part of life until God got his attention and changed the way his mindset, the way he thought about life, and got him on the right track. And Paul was totally committed to Christ. In Acts chapter 14, Paul was preaching to the crowd in Lystra, and some of his enemies were able to turn the crowd against him, and they stoned him. They dragged him outside the city, and they was going to leave him as dead. And as soon as he woke up, they thought he was dead. Everybody thought he was dead. And Paul might have thought he was dead, but God had further plans for him. But the Bible says he got up, and what did he do? Brushed himself off, and he went back into the city to continue to do what God had called him to do, to preach the gospel. He had such a burning desire to preach the gospel that even the threat of physical violence couldn't keep him away. And talk about a contender. No wonder Paul could say at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what a contender does. Exactly what this verse says. You fight a good fight. You stay on the course. You finish the course. And you keep the faith. There's a huge difference between contenders and pretenders. There's a big difference. Pretenders say they are Christians. They are committed. They go to church occasionally. But contenders are in the game. They're playing. They're doing their best. You know, there's a lot of potential for athletes. There's a lot of potential for Christians. But we have to apply that, our faith that is ingrounded or enrooted in our lives. From the day that we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He indwells our life and begins His great work in our lives as Philippians chapter 1. I'm thinking about chapter 1, verse 6. Whatever God has begun in our life, He will complete that. And as we are continually being contenders in our faith and exercising our faith, we will complete our course. Now, what Paul was trying to say is that if you really want to win in the Christian life and in the church, then you got to be a contender. And there's two characteristics of contenders. First one is contenders are competitive. How many of you out here are competitive in what you do? Well, some of you are. You got to be competitive, don't you? Everybody have a winning spirit. If you're not in the game, you're sitting on the sideline and you're looking at those who are contenders and you are rooting for them, aren't you? So you're competitive in that way. So, and while athletes compete against one another, the followers of Christ and the church, our competition is much different. We compete with three influences in life. And I want to show you what those are. Social influences, satanic influence, and self. So, We're always having to contend against things outside of church. And if we let that fill our life, then being a contender of the faith in Jesus Christ, as Paul is describing here, we're in the race, we're running, and we're striving to please God in all that we do. But if social and satanic and self influences are more prevalent in our life, then Christ gets put in the background. So those are the things that we are contending against today in our life. Now, spiritual contenders are competitors. And they have to realize that every day of our lives, we're in competition. Our things are in competition for our heart. Paul called it the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. You are involved in a heated competition for your heart. Things that I just mentioned, the social things, satanic things, and the selfish things in our own life are in competition for our heart. In fact, you may feel as though you've fallen completely out of the race. I remember when I ran track in high school, my coach was always saying, keep focus, keep focus. Don't look back. Don't look to the side. Look for the goal. Look for the finish line. And I got in trouble for that a few times. I looked, and I didn't realize my coach was looking at me, and I got it at the finish line, whether I won or what, not. You didn't keep focus. You didn't keep your eyes on the goal. And I learned that I would need to keep focus, and I did at that point. So whatever we compete in, in faith, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And I've got good news for you this morning. You can get up and get back in the race. When you fall down, you get back in the race. With God's help, you can be a contender again. With faith in Christ, you can not only compete, but you can win the race. And not only are contenders competitive, but the Bible says also contenders are goal-oriented. Winners are contenders who reach for the prize. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in my life. So what does that mean? That I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling. See, every one of us has a calling in our life. When we reach to the point of understanding right and wrong, God is calling us to look at the cross, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We're in the race of life. We're on this journey. And as we're running and as we're striving and tugging and toring at the things in our life, when we look at Christ, we realize that He is at the finish line because he was here on earth himself. He was competing against the forces of evil, and yet he was triumphant over them because he didn't give in to them, right? He remained faithful. He chose to be obedient to the Father. And if we would keep that in mind, that every day that we toil against the forces of evil, over the social things, satanic things, and our own selfish desires, that we're in a race and all these obstacles are going to be thrown out in front of us, and they can become hurdles in our life. And we can sail over those as we keep our eyes on the finish line and run the race that God has called us to. The calling, first of all, is salvation. And then he placed that calling in our life to, as a changed life, to, and that is our prize. That is our ultimate prize, and I'll share a little bit more about that, about the changed life. And oftentimes we think about heaven being our prize, don't we? And that is an ultimate reward for us as Christians. But I believe the ultimate prize for Christians is a changed life and living that life while we're here on earth. Because once we're in heaven, that is our ultimate reward. But the prize is running the race and finishing the race. As Paul says, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. If our goal is to win the prize, and if we're to run to get the prize, then wouldn't it be nice to know what the prize is? What the reward is? And I dare say that most of us would say, as I mentioned a while ago, heaven is a prize. And that would be partially correct. Because heaven is part of the prize, but it's not that prize. You want to know that it's to change life. And there's three dynamic changes or transformation that God deserves for each one of our lives. And regardless of what you are or where you are in your spiritual journey, you need one of these changes. And they are, first of all, justification. That's salvation. See, we sang about that this morning. Shine, Jesus, shine. Justification, salvation, darkness to light, saved from the penalty of sin. That is part of the changed life. And that's why I like to quote 2 Corinthians 5:17 so much. It's because it keeps reminding me that if we are in Christ, we have been changed. We've been changed, and old things have passed away, and new things come. And that's the demonstration of being justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ offers that salvation to each one of us. In Ephesians chapter 1, that's what Paul is talking about, that we have been justified, that Christ Jesus is a reconciliator for our lives. And he justified us through Jesus Christ, his Son. And then secondly, sanctification. And you know, I'm very careful how I use some of these words sometimes because they can become so churchy, can't they? when we use words like justification, sanctification, glorification. But these things really should mean something to us as Christians, because justification does mean salvation through Jesus Christ. Then sanctification is that we have been set apart for a good work, to live for Christ. The process of becoming like Christ, saved from the power of sin. See, the power of sin is great. It's really great. But Christ has overcome that through his death on Calvary. So the process of becoming like Christ is the sanctification, that we've been set apart from the world to do great things in Jesus' name. And then glorification, ultimately transformed into the likeness of Christ, saved from the presence of sin. That means, according to Ephesians, that means past, present, and future, we're being forgiven and of our sins, the presence of sin. That's the first characteristic of a winner. And someone who runs to win, a contender who is competitive and goal-oriented, someone who refuses to settle for God's less and chooses God's best for our life. This morning I was thinking about this message, and I've only went through the first point. So I'm going to make part two next Sunday and finish this message, since, you know, it's going to be the 21st before the Olympics is over. to help us understand that our journey in life is like the Olympics. It's endurance. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So winners make hard decisions and no one wants to make. And most people don't want to make tough decisions because they are afraid other people won't like them anymore. So what, though? What makes Esther in the Old Testament a great example of her ability to make tough decisions when she didn't even have to and people didn't like some of the things Esther did and the hard decisions she made, but she turned the nation of Israel. The whole nation survived because of her decision. She risked it all, and she didn't have to do it, but she chose to do it because she knew it was God working in her that she was willing to go out on a limb and make some tough decisions for the nation of Israel, and it turned that nation around. If we are waiting for a perfect church, perfect marriage, perfect business, perfect life, you'll be waiting a long, long time. Work with what's in your hand today. Work with what God has placed in your hands, in your heart. He has placed each and every one of us on this earth to run a race. And Paul couldn't explain it or said it any better than everybody has to run. Everybody has to compete. And the Christian life is very most important. We can accomplish a lot of things in our life. We can get a lot of awards, a lot of fame, and so forth. A lot of credit to our names, a lot of accomplishments, but that will not stand up when we stand before the Lord. What we do in the Lord's name is what will last. I mean, He's placed us here. He's given us the ability. He's given us skills and gifts and talents, and we are to use them for His honor and glory. And if we use Him for His honor and glory, we'll be blessed. We'll have a good life, knowing that Christ Jesus is right there with us in the race. And we don't give up. He's the best coach that we can have. Amen? The best coach that we can have. And we will listen to Him and read the Word of God and get the understanding and discernment that the Word of God wants us to have. We'll be the best contenders in this world if we will do what He has called us to do. The Bible says, be faithful in a little. And some of God's greatest gifts came in small packages, and it changed the world forever. And I would call Paul a small package. I mean, he was statue-wise, but as far as a man of God, he stood the highest in his commitment for the Lord. And he wasn't afraid. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to tell somebody. I mean, who would take a beating like him, laying in the streets, wake up, and say, phew, I live, so I'm getting out of here. No, Paul says, I'm not through. God's not through. He's not through with me. He let me live. So I'm going back into that city, and I'm going to continue what God's called me to do. How many of us would have quit right there? We would have probably went home, hid under a table or in the closet or something, afraid that you're going to come after us, knowing we're not there. We should be challenged. We should be encouraged, knowing that what God is laid upon our hearts, what He wants us to do, that we're the contenders of faith, and what we do on this earth is going to have a greater impact in eternity. and the awards are waiting for us there. And the greatest prize that we can accomplish is the changed life. How is your life been changed? How is it been changed in a way that it motivates you to compete in every opportunity that God has put in your heart, put in your mind, to not give up, but keep in the race and finish well? That's what He wants us to do this morning. Our Father God, we praise Your holy name. We thank You that this scripture speaks to each one of us, that it opens up our hearts and our minds to realize that not only Paul was in the race, but we're all running the race. And we're running it in faith, knowing that You've all already accomplished, already won the victory. And we're on Your team. And You're rooting for us this morning, as all the world is rooting for those from every nation, every person competing. The world stands by on the sideline, and they're rooting for their own nation to win. And Lord, You're rooting for us as Your children, as we are contenders of the faith. Lord, I know You'll never give up on us. And sometimes we give up on ourselves because we realize that Christian faith, it's hard. The Christian life is hard. It's tough competing against the world and satanic forces and evils. But help us to be reminded that we can finish. And we can say, as Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course, and now I lays up a reward for those who love Jesus Christ, and our Father, Heavenly Father. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know You personally, I pray Your Holy Spirit, I know, is already at work in each one of our lives, ready to change us, ready to point us in Your direction, the way that You want us, the decisions You want us to make. Lord, let Your will be done in this service today. Anyone here looking for a church home, anyone needs to renew their life afresh. They know they're a Christian, they've been saved, but the life-changing experience like Paul had helps us to have a different focus, outlook upon our journey in life. Lord, I praise You and I thank You, Lord, what You're going to do in this invitation. It's Your invitation. I'm willing to be here and talk and pray. Whatever the decisions that need to be made this very moment, Lord, lay it upon each and every one of our hearts. To not, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed to step out and make a decision for Christ. Lord, we praise You and we thank You in His precious name. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is...